such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. It is Monday, and usually when you hear our voices on Monday, you hear mine and Mary's. However, today Mary is taking a well-deserved day, and it's going to be me and Loretta Frelick, and it's going to be Joyce DeRiga, who's going to join us in just a moment. And it is truly our privilege to gather together on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. It's the weather, if it just would get warm, we'd have it made. But it's a glorious, sparkly, I don't know why I want to say that, but it's a sparkly, sunshiny day. And so we want to start our program by praying again for Cardinal Zen, and the reports of his experiencing some serious illness have passed. And the word is from his secretary, Father Carlos Chung, that the 91-year-old cardinal is in good health. He was pictured just recently celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph. And so we want to wish Cardinal Zen well and blessings on him and his secretary, Father Carlos Chung. And we want to acknowledge that Cardinal Zen is being held in China at the government's request. They have taken his passport since his recent conviction in the show trial, alleging that he funded a non-government-approved or non-government-registered fund that supported individuals who were dissidents in China. Their lawyer fees, their bond fees, their funds for their family if they were unable to work. So, we want to just wish well to Cardinal Zen and keep praying for him, listeners. Keep praying. And the other bishop that we really want to keep in our prayers is Nicaraguan Bishop Rolando Alvarez. And he was the last man on a transport and refused to get on to an airplane that would take him to Washington, D.C., where he was going to be released into exile, and he refused. He refused to leave his people. And so now he is in the La Modelo prison, sentenced to 26 years for stripped of his Nicaraguan citizenship and held in a prison where most of the president's opponents are held. So we know that as he suffers in that prison, he unites that suffering to Christ. But it still doesn't make this coming Easter any easier. So we continue to pray for Bishop Rolando Alvarez. Remember, we had a guest on, and Piketty, I think was her name, Bayer Piketty. And that was the one thing she advised us, listeners. She told us to learn, to study, to understand. We know that there's some sort of Vatican-China agreement, but nobody knows what it is. We also know that Nicaragua President Daniel Ortega has fought against the Catholic Church since he last came into power. So we want to pray this Easter for conversion of heart for President Daniel Ortega and for Bishop or Alvarez and all the dissidents to be released. And I'm not kidding. Our prayers are powerful. Amen. When we ask God for something, He hears our prayer. And we know from the Gospel of Luke, nothing is impossible for God. So keep up the great work in praying for our church and our bishops, especially being held in places they'd probably rather not be. But now we're going to move to our guest today, and it is really my delight to welcome Joyce DeRiga. And I want you to know that Joyce, as you can imagine, we are friends. She is also a friend of the show. And whenever I have a really great idea, like a road trip or something, Joyce always throws in. And we have had some great adventures. Right, Joyce?
Absolutely.
Now, Joyce, you're the editor of the Chicago Catholic. Can you tell our listeners how you became editor of the Chicago Catholic paper?
I was working for our Sunday Visitor newspaper. I was the associate editor there for about 2.5 years, and the position came open here. I have a journalism background. I got a degree in journalism from Penn State University and started off working in secular journalism, so wanted to use my gift more directly for God, so got into communications work for the church, working for Catholic Charities in Pittsburgh, and then the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and then OSB. And then when this job opened up, to me, Chicago seems like a microcosm of the larger church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was very appealing to come here and be able to do stories about all different kinds of things. And it's a very diverse church, as
yes.
we know. Yeah, so that's how it's been over 15 years now.
Wow, I didn't realize it had been that long.
But that's what I said.
I guess I thought maybe it was longer because I don't know, I can't remember not knowing you.
So, yeah, same here.
Tell me, I want to know, you've also authored a couple of books.
Yeah, two books for Liturgical Press, for their People of God series, one on Sister Helen Prejean, who most people probably know is a death penalty abolitionist,
sure.
and wrote Dead Man Walking, which was made into a movie years ago. And then also on Father Augustus Tolton, who's the first black priest ordained for the United States, first native-born black priest ordained for the United States, and whose cause, as you know, is open for his cause for canonization is open here in the Archdiocese, so...
And you have a really beautiful presentation that teaches young people how a saint is made, and you used the example of Father Tolton and all the beautiful pictures that you had. Now, is it Karen Calloway that does all those great pictures for the...
She's our photo editor for Chicago, and we've been... You know, anytime I would say we've had a front row seat for everything, Father Tolton. And so we have pictures from the sites in Quincy where he was living, and then around Chicago. A lot of the things that the churches and stuff where he ministered aren't there anymore. It's been a long time. But so we were able to pull stuff. And one of the neatest things is his exhumation.
Yes.
That, as part of the process, they exhume the body of the saint to verify that it is the saint and to that kind of stuff. And we were able to go to that, which was very moving and very unique. So we have pictures of that. So you can see his skull, if you're not too grossed out, and parts of his body. Yeah.
Well, I remember you did the presentation for my parish in my confirmation students, you know, and I thought it was particularly interesting because you were telling them what does the church require when somebody becomes a saint, and you showed them all these pictures, and they reminded me, as our listeners know, I used to work as a prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney. It reminded me of my murder files, you know what I've got? And those were the pictures that all the boys were interested in.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And
you really helped out with that presentation, so thank you.
Well, you know, I think we should take it on the road, Joyce.
I do,
because
too. Yeah.
It's really was, you know, you did such a great job and truly captured the essence of Father Tolton. And, you know, I think it's for parishes that want to address not just their confirmation students, but race relations in their parish. The story of Father Tolton is a beautiful one of self-sacrifice in the face of, he was a black priest. He was sent to, you know, after the Civil War, you know, the reason that he died of heat stroke. Could you imagine walking in your black clerics all the way home on a boiling hot August day from downtown Chicago to the South Side? No. But, you know, I think it's so beautiful because of who he is and that Chicago is given this gift of Father Tolton. And we have the opportunity to learn about him and to present his cause. And, you know, I really think it is so amazing that, you know, you have been given the gift of being able to present it so many places. And so any parishes out there that are looking for a way to make saints come alive for their confirmation students, give Joyce a call. Or if you just want to address racism in the Archdiocese and you'd like to have an amazing presentation, give Joyce a call. But today we are going to talk about the events going on in the Archdiocese. And I remember that I spoke with you and said, you know, it really must be hard to drum up something for the paper in the Archdiocese during Lent. And you were like, oh, no.
Yeah. No.
So if you look at this issue of the Chicago Catholic, what's going on, Joyce?
Well, I mean, that's the blessing of being in Chicago. I mean, there's not... there really isn't a lack of stories. So we've got, in this issue, we went to, like, for example, St. Ferdinand Church on the north side has had a fish fry for over 30 years, and they actually have a drive-thru, which...
Oh, my goodness!
Is unique to Chicago, or unique in the area. So we went, and, you know, you talk to people that have been doing it for, you know, all that time, and...
Sure.
And the effects on the church and how it helps support their ministry and such. So we've got that.
Can you tell our listeners, I mean, we can figure it out, but tell our listeners what's served up at a fish fry?
Well, mostly fish, you know, and you know, and a lot of places have, one of the best ones is down at St. Benedict. Well, it has a new name now with Renew My Church. I can't keep up with the names. But
neither can I.
Yeah, St. Benedict
and
Blue Island.
St. Benedict and Blue Island.
Yeah. So this lady, she's since passed. She passed during the pandemic, not of COVID, but she was in her 90s. But she had, it was her recipe for the breading, and it was her recipe for the coleslaw. And she always said that restaurants would come in and ask her for the recipe, and she's like, you know, give the church $50,000, and I'll give you my...
Good for Maya. Her.
Right, yeah, she's very spunky. People would get people go from all over to go there. But St. Ferd's has a good one too. So they'll do fish and shrimp and French fries and usually coleslaw, mac and cheese for kids if they don't like fish. And you know, and it's also a time, as you know, to get together with parishioners and kind of build community. And you know, there's some really good ones here in Chicago. Where I grew up in Pittsburgh, it was funny, they used to put out a special publication from the newspaper of all the fish fries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were so many of them. And then people would go, like, hop around, and then they would go to stations right after. So sometimes people do that here. And so St. Ferd's, got to check that one out. Check out St. Benedict in Blue Island. And it's a great time of year for it, right? Like, we've only got two more Fridays.
Right. Well, that is amazing. And, you know, when I was looking at your article in this issue, the March 19th issue of the Chicago Catholic, I just loved how they showed that all different ages come together. And they've got a little girl, Matzili Figueroa. She's 5 years old. She's a kindergartner. And she passes out the plastic utensils. I just think that's so terrific. And she's with her mom. And when I look back in my life, you know, how did I first become active in my parish? It was when the Mother's Club had, like, those old house walks. Remember those days before you didn't want the criminal casing your house
right. For
a later robbery? And parishes used to, Mother's Clubs used to have a beautiful house walk where parishioners would put their houses on the walk. And I remember my mom recruited me and my girlfriends, and we were the greeters at the door, and we held the door open and welcomed them. And, you know, so it's just the littlest of acts, and yet here they are teaching their children how to be of service in the church.
And
in that same article, they mentioned that the Boy Scout Troop 51, they all gather and help out, too. So it's really kind of... full service. It gets you that fish. It's you know, fish fries are so good, Joy.
I know.
They it's almost kind of like, how is this a penance?
Right. Sure. Exactly.
I mean, so, but if you don't want to break your fast, you go on ahead and come on down to one of these fish fries, and you'll have a wonderful time with communities that are offering hot meals and friendship to not only their own parish, but others in the area. So we really want to thank them. And we really, they have to-go meals too, which I find just amazing. And I really want to give a shout out to Zacchaeus House, which is a not-for-profit, non-treatment home for men, providing a safe, supportive and spiritual home to those in transition. And they have carry-out meals for these guys. So not only do you come to Zacchaeus House, but there's also, they take the food to the men at the transitional housing facility. So that's kind of amazing. It touches all areas of need in our archdiocese. So tell us what else is going on.
We recently had there's a National Eucharistic Revival.
Oh, I know. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Tell our listeners what we had Jane Gunther on about a year ago. It probably is a good time to get her back. But she is working for Bishop Cousins and on the National Eucharistic Revival. Let's share with our listeners more about that.
So there was a Pew study a few years ago that found that a good majority of practicing Catholics don't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist.
69%, Joyce.
Yeah, it's very shocking.
It was.
We got our work cut out for us.
It still is, but that's okay. Nothing is impossible for God.
Right. And so the bishops brought it up at one of their meetings, and they came up with this idea for a national Eucharistic revival. And it's 3 years, and the first year is at the diocesan level. There's supposed to be catechesis, encouragement of adoration, mm-hmm. understanding of the Eucharist, and then the next year will be more grassroots-based at the parish levels, where they're supposed to have, like, processions and, again, more catechesis and engagement. And then the last year they're going to have a... which is next year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
They're going to have the national meeting in Indianapolis in July.
July.
You and I are going. So
yes, we are. We better figure out when we're going, but we got a year to figure it out. You know, because it's a really important movement. We are going to go to our first break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about how this movement is attempting to restore understanding and devotion to the great mystery of Jesus in the Eucharist. So I am Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
This Lent, we can consider the mystery of pain. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen taught that there is only one way pain can be handled, and that is by looking at the three crosses on Calvary, and particularly our blessed Lord Jesus in the middle. Jesus took this absurd symbol of the cross, put himself upon it, and solved the enigma of life and death. He solved it by making it a condition of life. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Listen, Good Friday is the condition of Easter Sunday. You die with him, you rise with him. In other words, Jesus conquered pain by using it as a means of attaining glory. Jesus is with you in your pain. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com. God love you.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick, and I'm with Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Chicago Catholic, and we are talking about events coming up for us to take advantage of. And right now we're talking about the Eucharistic Revival. And I know that this Eucharistic Revival, you mentioned it was a three-year program to bring everyone at the end to Indianapolis. And so the June 2022 to June 2023, it is a year of diocesan revival. And so they're asking all the dioceses, the archdiocese all over the country to become engaged in understanding who Jesus is in the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist that we receive. And in June 2023, it's going to move into the second phase, which is to foster Eucharistic devotion at the parish level. You know, and I think this is so exciting, Joyce. I know for myself, our parish has adoration every Thursday night, or sorry, strike that, Tuesday night. And it's on Tuesday night that I was able to go for so long until, you know, my mother's illness, and you know, now I'm putting that back into my routine because I missed it. And I know always before the show here, I have the opportunity to go and be present in front of the Blessed Sacrament here at St. Stanislaus Koska.
Right.
And so, what is it that you see happening in the next year for the revival?
Well, it's still, the Archdiocese is still kind of working on things.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that they just had these holy hours in each vicariate.
Yes.
Vicariate has an auxiliary bishop, and they each held a holy hour where it was supposed to be about, you know, gathering together and, again, a moment for catechesis and a teaching on the Eucharist. And then there's supposed to be, in September, a diocesan-wide gathering. As to who gets invited, I don't quite know. Probably parish leaders,
mm-hmm.
like much like when the Renew My Church effort started, they hosted a big gathering out in Rosemont.
Yes, I was there.
For parish leaders. So that's supposed to be coming in the fall. As far as more, we're hearing little by little as the committee meets, and it was kind of tough because Renew My Church was, the structural phase was sort of wrapping up when the news came down to do this, and it's the same groups working on both, so we're a little slow out of the gate, but it's ramping up, you know.
And praise God.
Yeah, so there's a website for it. If you go to the Archdiocese website, you'll find some information. That's archchicago.org, and then there's a national website that has tons of resources that you can sign up for newsletters and social media and such. So it's exciting. I mean, you know, as you know, in Indy, they're expecting over 100,000 people, and I don't even know how they're going to host the final Mass because the big events are being held in Lucas Oil Stadium, if it's still called that, I don't know, but where the Colts play, and they're only set up for like 60, 70,000 people, and they're expecting over 100,000. And imagine this, like the event kicks off with a Eucharistic procession through the city, like,
right,
100,000 people.
Like, yes,
I just get chills. It'll be exciting.
It is exciting. And you know, one of the, and that kind of segues, we'll come back to the Eucharistic because there's so much to talk about. But what you're saying is also the Way of the Cross that is scheduled to be held on Good Friday. And I'm trying to, is it Communion and Liberation that the lay ecclesial group, Communion and Liberation?
Oh, they're one. That's one of the ones. We actually have, if you go on, one of the things I thought we could talk about too is the bucket mm-hmm. list that we have for the arts.
Oh, yes.
We've done it a couple of times. I think we're going to have to do it again because I saw the last one was 2016, but things to do in the Archdiocese, you know, around.
Sure.
And one of them is the Way of the Cross. There's a really big one in Pilsen. That's the one that gets thousands
this
of people.
This one is downtown. This one is downtown. And this year it's going to be led by Bishops Jeffrey Grob and Mark Bartosik. So it's really, you know, look it up. Find out where it's coming to. It meets somewhere like at Daily Plaza, and then it's a centrally located event, and then it will take you all through the Archdiocese of Chicago.
The city of Chicago.
I apologize. Downtown Chicago, and that's one of the big events on Good Friday. But what's so interesting, too, we need to know, is all kinds of priests are have been trained to give a Eucharistic message. And you can look on the website for the Eucharistic Revival, and you will see all kinds of priests that are chosen and, you know, just really wonderful guys like, you know, Father Robert Spitzer, Father Matthias Thielen, parish, some archdiocesan priests here in Chicago. I think there's they have the gift, Father Timothy Anastos from the Archdiocese of Chicago, and they just are Eucharistic preachers that have passionate preaching. And so
there's four guys from Chicago. There's Father Manny Durantis.
Okay.
And
who else?
Father Tim. There's Father Connor, who's also, Father Tim and Father Connor are both at the Newman Center at the University of Illinois Chicago. And then Father Waylon Welter, who is not in this diocese right now, but he's from here. But yeah, there's 50 of them. They actually came for a retreat at the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels in Humble Park for to kind of get commissioned and kicked off. But yeah.
Yes, and so you have the opportunity in parishes to reach out to these men and invite these holy priests to come and give preaching about the Eucharistic Revival. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, and also at the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels, Bishop Bob Lombardo is on the national committee, and as is Sister Alicia Torres from the mission. And their whole charism is Eucharistic focused. So they have stuff too that you can reach out to them, and they've been holding these like holy hours and stuff.
Praise God. Praise God. That is so exciting. I just think that's so exciting because I know, you know, as someone who has been able to be a Eucharistic minister, the thing that has just, it just like makes my little heart hurt is all these people coming forward and they just don't know. They just don't know the beauty and the power and the Jesus. And so, you know, it's just been my prayer for years that they would wake up, that the church would wake up to the beauty of the Eucharist and to know, you know, that Jesus is body, blood, soul, and divinity present each time we receive him in the body and each time we receive him in the blood. And, you know, we've missed the opportunity to be, you know, taking of the cup because of so many issues with COVID, but we know that Jesus is bigger than COVID, right?
Absolutely.
And now, after this year of getting ourselves together in the mission for the Eucharistic Revival, the National Eucharistic Congress. Now, Joyce, mark your calendar. We're leaving around July 17th. And we'll be coming home after the 21st of July, okay? Just so.
Okay.
And they're expecting 80,000 Catholics to gather in Indianapolis. Pretty cool. And we're going to be there.
It will be exciting.
Won't it be exciting? Whoa, I think it's amazing. And I think that we are blessed beyond measure. And it should become, a revival that outdoes Asbury and all of the Catholic parishes that have spread from Asbury. Jesus is present, and we are blessed to know him. So, what else is going on in the Archdiocese?
Well, along the dinner theme, we've talked about the food theme. We did a story recently about down at Southside Parish that they've been having this kind of like diner and food, not like a food pantry, but a, so they've been doing that for 15 years. They've been serving people. And you know what's so funny is all of the volunteers are like in their 70s. So it's, and that's kind of the clientele that they've been serving. So that's exciting. We did a feature on that. So there's always something going on. I mean,
well, that's what I find so amazing is that that's your playground and your backyard. You know that there's always something fun going on in the Archdiocese. There's always something spiritually uplifting that's going on in the Archdiocese. And there's also something, you know, socially going on. I love your cover. The little boy with the face getting his head shaved to fight cancer.
St. Baldrick's Society has head shaving on around St. Patrick's Day.
Right. And what a great thing to help people that are experiencing cancer to join in prayer and festivities of getting their head shaved. So where do we know where that young boy was from? Is that... from Queen of Martyrs School?
Let me check.
You know, you really just want to give these kids and these young men and women the credit where it's due. You know, that you would have your appearance altered. I don't know that I'd cut off all my hair.
Yeah, and, Queen of Martyrs. Yes. They have a big one. They had a kid who passed away from...
childhood cancer.
Yeah, so they... they have a big one. It's the principals will do it, you know, parents will do it. And it's not a Catholic organization. It says St. Baldrick's in this, but but they use it to raise money for
yes.
childhood cancer. And it's pretty, it's always fun to see the kids get their heads saved.
Yes. And to see them so wholeheartedly join in the support.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, back in 2016, you also prepared an article for the Chicago Catholic, and it was the Catholic bucket list. And you were so accurate when you indicated that the Archdiocese of Chicago abounds with spiritual riches. And covering Cook and Lake counties, you put out a really amazing list of diverse publication or diverse events that people would have and have the opportunity to attend. What was your favorite one from the 2016 list?
It's hard to kind of put a finger on what the favorite ones are that mm-hmm. we have because, mm-hmm. you know, I just think there's so much that goes on in the Archdiocese all the time that people maybe just stay within their own parish boundaries and they don't. Like, how many people actually get to the cathedral? You know,
right.
And I forget. Like, a friend of mine went to ordination last year for the first time, and we go, like, every year.
Right.
And she's like, you know, it was so neat. And I'm like, oh, right, you don't go.
Right.
You know, and, like, people really should try and make an effort, in my opinion, to go, like, visit Holy Name, you know, just to... when you go in Holy Name, and you can get validated parking now across the street at One Chicago in the parking garage. But if you go, like, look at the ceiling, it's all this. It's since been reinforced, but mm-hmm. there's it's like a sort of like a what are those gingerbread house mm. on the ceiling, and they were all these big blocks of wood, hand-carved wood that were
wow.
all hand-nailed in with these nails that were like a foot long, and then the roof started to go and they started to fall down. But they've since reinforced them all. But like go to the cathedral. You don't even have to go for an Archdiocese and event. You can go for, you know, daily mass or
right.
a weekday mass. And then we always talk about going and seeing the galeros that are in the sanctuary there, that these hats that were traditionally given to cardinals. And they hang them in the sanctuary upon their death. So that's unique. And I would say that visiting the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in Des Plaines is always something
yes.
I tell people to do.
Well,
you know,
when we come back from our second break, Joyce, let's talk about some of your other favorites. This
okay.
is Loretta Freilich. I am guest host on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
A Lenten Reflection with Monsignor Charles Pope.
As Lent progresses, we move closer and closer to Good Friday, where our Lord will suffer so much for us. One of the great themes of Lent that is announced on Ash Wednesday is that we are engaging in a battle, a spiritual battle. Here's the opening prayer for Lent in Ash Wednesday. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, that as we take up the battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. And so you see these words, battle, weapons, armed, and even the idea of a campaign as in a military campaign. We're called each day to engage in a kind of a spiritual warfare, but to intensify that in Lent Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is the battle, to deny ourselves and to serve the Lord and others.
Lenten programs now through Holy Thursday on EWTN Radio and TV.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick with our guest, Joyce DeRiga, editor of the Chicago Catholic, and we are learning about some of the bucket list events that people should think about as Catholics as they check them off. You know, one of the bucket list events that you talked about in the article was, I'm looking for it, I can't find it, but attending Taizé. And the Taizé prayer service every month in Ascension Church in Oak Park. That is a beautiful Friday of the every month and Friday at 7:30, except in January. And if you haven't been to a Taizé prayer service, it really is truly so beautiful. I believe it's the style of prayer out of France, where they didn't want to prepare booklets and have people wedded to those booklets. And so the chant, you would recognize Taizé chant when you hear it. And it's just so that you don't need words. Your soul and your mind just take them into your being and you just pray them. And it is such a beautiful service. And if you haven't been to Ascension Church in Oak Park, it is a very beautiful church. It's a little more modern than my tastes would go for, but it does provide the beautiful altar and allows for people to place their candles representing their prayers that they are offering up to the Lord on all those steps. And it's really a beautiful, contemplative, but being held with a community. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, Taizé is really, it's really relaxing and really, really moving. You know, I would also recommend, mentioned before the break, is people go visit the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe out in Des Plaines. It's an outdoor shrine. They do have a church now where you can go for Mass, and so it's open 24 hours, the shrine is. But you can also, if you're brave enough, go on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. I say that because they get over 100,000 people, and it's even more when there's good weather. People, they close down the streets all around, and people walk to the shrine.
Right, December 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
And if you go, you'll see pilgrims on horseback. You'll see pilgrims mm-hmm. walking. People traditionally bring roses for Mary, and they've just done a renovation of the shrine up there. And so it's even more beautiful. But, you know, what I just love is that, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we've talked about her on the show during the closer to her feast day. But Our Lady of Guadalupe is, you know, she's the patroness of the Americas.
Right.
That's us, you guys, us. And if you've ever had the opportunity to be in Mexico down at the shrine, to see the tilma, the picture of Our Lady that's in that tilma, and, you know, to hear the story of Juan Diego and how she requested a church be built on that site. And little Juan Diego was trying to get away from her the third time because the bishop and his assistants weren't listening to her or him. And the third time she had him gather up some roses and put them in his, like, tilma, and it was made of cacti. And so I had the opportunity to see how cactus is used. The person breaks off the piece that would prick you and uses it as a needle to weave clothing. But the tilma is only supposed to last like 20 years. It's made out of cactus. It's going to disintegrate. And yet it is still there today after, I don't know, 100 plus years. And it is there for you to venerate. They've examined the tilma. You know, interestingly enough, the the cloth, it's not symmetrical, the stars on it, and that's because it is a mirror of the image of the stars in the sky that night that he appeared to him. But probably my favorite part about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and why you also see her, her gown is belted under her breasts, and that is, she's a pregnant Blessed Mother. Only time Blessed Mother has appeared pregnant, and that is why she is the symbol of the right to life and the march for life. You'll always see a Blessed Mother in from Our Lady of Guadalupe. But my favorite is what she says to Juan Diego. She's like, why didn't you go your usual route? And he said, oh, lady, he doesn't know who she is. Oh, lady, I had to go get a doctor for my uncle. And Blessed Mother looks at Juan Diego and says, oh, Johnny, am I not she who is your mother? So, you know, a visit to that shrine would be so terrific, even if it's in summertime on a beautiful evening, instead of an ice-cold, frigid December meeting.
Right.
But to remember, to bring us closer to Blessed Mother, am I not she who is your mother? And I say that to all the listeners out there that are struggling with something, sickness in their family, financial challenges, you know, children away from the church. Remember, give it to Blessed Mother. Am I not she who is your mother? And she'll take care of it. Trust me. Anyway, what
else? We have a lot. I mean, we've been blessed. We also, yes. Keeping along that theme, I would encourage people to go to Marytown, which is up in Libertyville. And
oh, yes.
We're the only one in North America. The Maximilian Kolbe, who was killed in Auschwitz, Father Maximilian Kolbe, founded on each continent a Marytown, which centers for retreat, public, usually some kind of media. And so ours, the one for North America, is up in Libertyville. And it's staffed by the Conventional Franciscans. And there's a retreat center up there, a beautiful church.
Right.
They have this huge monstrance that's from the National Eucharistic Congress that was held here in the 1920s up in Mundelein.
I did not know that's where that came from.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that cool?
That is
and
way
then
cool.
They have a little museum with Maximilian Kolbe relics and artifacts, rather. There's some grounds. There's some outdoor stations you can walk around. There's a really cool gift shop up there. We've got some really neat Mary things
in
this
diocese. Yes, yes.
And while you're up there, go swing past Mundelein, which is our seminary, university.
Oh, isn't that beautiful up at Mundelein?
Yeah.
Yes. A very dear, dear friend became engaged there. And she and her husband have three boys and one new girl. And they met up there at a retreat, and they became engaged there. And it's a very special place.
Yeah, and they have daily mass, and they have daily confession, too, so if people want to go up. They also staff St. Edith Church, which now Mary Mother of God, which is on the north side, mm-hmm. Andersonville. The priest, I mean, doesn't always make sense, but yeah, the priest staff, Mary Mother of God Parish. I mean, there's so many neat things. We've got three basilicas. We're the only diocese in the country that has, you know, Chicago, man. Like,
right.
You gotta do everything, go big or go home. And, you know, and so we have three basilicas. You can go visit those. The gorgeous one is, well, they're all really nice, but is Our Lady of Sorrows in, West Garfield Park. That it's huge. They
sure.
used to have these big novenas there that drew tens of thousands of people, literally.
Right.
But yeah, it's an amazing. Do you have a favorite kind of event space or tradition?
I love my parish. I know that sounds not like so good in the, we're supposed to be so diverse, but Our stained glass windows, if you get to go on a church tour, usually buses go around during Holy Week.
Right.
On Holy Thursday. If anyone gets an opportunity to go to St. Luke in River Forest, we have the most beautiful stained glass windows. And we have, I learned, we have the most purple. And purple, yeah, and that's a very rare color in stained glass windows. But we have the most purple, and, you know, they're like Fabergé eggs. They are so lovely, and it's really fun. And I have my screensaver for my phone. The way the light hits the walls in the church in the, you know, spring and the bright days like today, it looks like when we have adoration, it looks like the monstrance is giving off fire. The way you're sitting there looking at the monstrance and adoring Jesus, and then the picture I have on my screensaver is really one that is a treasure. So that's probably one of my favorite. But, you know, wherever God is being glorified, that's where I'm a happy girl. I just was up at St. Mary's in
Evanston.
Yes. And we had a wonderful 30th anniversary celebration for the Spirit of Love prayer group up there. And the worship was led by Steve Mitchell, who was so anointed. And we had teachings and testimonies by Maria Vidia. And I'm telling you, that was my favorite place this week because it was on fire for God. But, you know, I want to let our listeners know, Joyce, that there are some events coming up in the Archdiocese. And there's a Holy Spirit renewal that's going to be presented by St. Gregory Prayer Group next week. And that's going to be in the St. Gregory Gym up at St. Gregory, obviously, at 1609 West Gregory Street in Chicago. Mary Mother of God Parish now. Yes, it's changed to same. But you can give Lynn Akanse a call at 847-331-2646. And then we have like a really great event coming. That's next Saturday, all day. And then we have a really amazing event coming. Joyce, are you familiar with Encounter School of Ministry?
Just what you've told me, but
sure.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Encounter School of Ministry helps you know your identity in Christ. And, you know, we can say, you know, Joyce DeRiga, she's the editor of the Chicago Catholic. Well, that describes what Joyce does. Joyce is a beloved child of God. And when we know who we are in Christ, then there's nothing that we cannot do. And so if you want to explore your identity as a son or a daughter of God, Joe Phillip he's amazing. And it will be a blessed day beyond measure on Saturday, April 14th and 15th. You've got to pre-register. So you can check it out at the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center for Chicago. They will have both of those events up on their website. And you can catch it by reading the show page today. And, you know, there's lots of other events coming up. We talked about...
If you go to chicagocatholic.com and click on events, you'll get an updated list of some stuff that's going on, too.
Oh, terrific. And if anybody wants to, where would they want to get a hold of you, Joyce?
If you go to the website and go down to the bottom, you'll see our contact list and my email's on there. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
jderiga@archchicago.org. That's terrific. Now, I told you my favorite places. You know, wherever God's being glorified, that's where I just want to get, you know, under the spout where the glory's coming out. You know, how about you? What do you love? Because you've done some interesting things. You took that walking pilgrimage to Indiana.
Yeah, you know, I don't know since the pandemic if they still do that. There's it's really neat. The Polish Catholic community, they have a tradition in Poland of around the feast day of Our Lady of Częstochowa, walking from wherever they live to the shrine. And, you know, there's a big celebration for Mary. And, you know, people will stay in people's barns or houses or whatever. But here, it's 2 days. They walk 32 miles. And it's in the past, it started at St. Michael's South Shore and then ends at a shrine to Mary Testahova in Indiana, and super organized. Like there are vans that go along the procession route with water, and there's speakers of everything's in Polish. Then they say the rosary and they have meditations and stuff. Priests hear confessions while people are walking.
Oh, wow.
You know, and very modest lunch and dinner for folks. And, you know, it's just amazing why people make these pilgrimages. Some of them are doing it in Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Some of them are doing it in petition, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just these kinds of things are, I always find, so unique. And, you know, and some of my other favorite things are, you know, pet blessings on St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, she with all those dogs would love pet blessings for hope they'll calm down.
Yeah, right. You know, and I just think taking the saints, we've got a lot of stuff with saints. You know, there's a national shrine to St. Jude on the south side in Pilsen, and they've got the arm bone of St. Jude. There's also the shrine of All Saints on the north side that has hundreds of relics that you can go and tour and venerate the saints. And just any kind of unique devotion like that, you know, always, I think it's such a rich part of the faith in Chicago.
Right, it is. It is. You know, the faith in Chicago among its God's people is so beautiful. And, you know, we are so blessed to live in this town that so values and fosters renewal of our faith. And that's why it should be a pretty easy gig getting our people here in the Archdiocese of Chicago to be revived by the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And we got to change that number at the Pew Study.
Amen.
Amen. So how are you planning on being involved in the renewal of the Eucharist other than going to the Indianapolis event?
Well, way to call me out there, Loretta.
I just know you're so holy.
No, that's not true. We try and keep it in the forefront of the paper and do as much as possible to help foster the belief in the Eucharist and, you know, the understanding of healing, the healing power of the Eucharist. Like occasionally we'll ask for reader input for some stories, and we had asked about why do you go to daily Mass, and we got the most responses for that. And,
really?
And how it changed people's lives. And
what were some of the responses?
Just that, you know, maybe they were going through a grieving process and they needed some consolation, and some just felt compelled to, you know, kind of enrich their lives where they just would sit there but something transformed in them, you know, where it's like when you sit in the sun, you get a suntan, even though, you know, So, you know, people were really talking about, were really moved by the power of it. You think about it, no church has the Eucharist every day, you know, somewhere at every moment the Mass is being said, praise Jesus. And, you know, and so it's a beautiful thing. So hopefully we'll keep doing that. We'll help foster some of that and help that renewal as it goes forward.
Praise God. Well, I really am excited to think about the Eucharistic revival, and I'm super excited for the opportunity every week to adore Jesus in the Eucharist. You know, stay tuned to this station, listeners, because the monstrance here at St. Stan's is going to have an anniversary, and there's always more for the hungry ones, and Jesus is coming to you. Next week, we're going to have Maria Vidia on, and she's going to share how she was at an event in Ireland and the dead were raised. So we want to give God glory for all that he does in our lives. We thank you, Joyce, for being part of us, and we look forward to talking to you later. Have a great week, listeners.
Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.